Yes, that's what you have to do. You know, you have to control your senses, because it's not that what you want to eat, when you want to eat, how you want to eat, it's going to happen. They can tell that to your mommy. Other than your mom, no one else is going to just listen to your uncontrolled senses and cater to it. And that's guaranteed, 100%. And that's only because they have that, they're kind to their kids. But wives are not moms. You know, wives are the women, and as we explained yesterday, the man is the man. But in your relationship with your mom, you're in the feminine position, they're in the masculine position, until you grow up and then you take care of your mom. But if your mom's taking care of you, you're in the feminine, they're in the masculine. Don't think that that automatically translates into your wife. You know, there's not a good exchange rate. So therefore, it doesn't work like that. So you have to control your senses like that. And then learning how to dress properly for the occasion, how to behave properly and all that, that's just proper common etiquette. It's just, these are basic things. So you have to understand that they are valuable, and you try your best. And the point is it's not that once you join Grihastha Ashram, you can't learn anymore. Grihastha Ashram, it means that once following night, they're called the Grihastha Brahmachari. It means that they're still engaged their senses in trying to understand Brahman, right? That's the meaning of a brahmana. So therefore, that's brahmacharya, right? So therefore, then you have to be able to see that element. And so you'll spend the whole rest of your life learning. Even your naistika brahmacharya, you still are learning every day. Every time you read, you learn something new. Every time you do the service, there's something new to learn. So because we're sat, you know, that means the knowledge. Sat, chit, you know, the knowledge potency is there. And so therefore, learning things, knowing things, that's just standard for us. So it's your whole life. So you're trying to get enough foundation that therefore you have something to work with in trying to learn as a Grihastha. Well, if you have nothing, then it makes, you don't have any background, it makes it more difficult. That's all. Not that you can't work it out, but it's much more difficult.
Next few questions are asked from congregation. So I'm just,
yes.
In our daily household activities, it is difficult to remember Krishna. So how we should improve in this direction?
It means that household activities of why you're doing them. If we're seeing it as Krishna's house, then we're keeping the house clean for Krishna, and we're cooking for Krishna and the devotees. So we're taking care of Krishna's devotees by, you know, seeing that they're physically and mentally and all this taken care of. So you just have to always take it back that everybody is connected to Krishna. Everyone being a devotee is connected to Krishna. The house is Krishna's, money is Krishna's. So if it's Krishna's money, it should be spent properly. So you don't buy something that's useless. You don't waste it. You know, you good investment. In other words, how much return it will give in the way of things. So just like, let's say, on a daily basis, you spend too much money on the food, it doesn't have any meaning because no one will appreciate it. But you see, it's like people are, you know, have their regular diet, and then occasions, guests come, or special occasions, they cook nice, or there's a wedding, people go all out, you know? And so then doing that, then people remember the wedding food, you know? But if every day you eat fancy, who remembers it? So you have to see where to apply the money, where not, you know? So that's the whole thing, you know? You know, so you have to be able to figure that out. You know, you have the Lamborghini, you know, okay, nice, but who really cares? Because it you can't get around one of those bumps on the road in Calcutta, one pothole, you're screwed. You know, so you better have a regular car, you know, that goes over the bumps nicely. You know, that's a waste of money. Bombay and a Ferrari or Lamborghini. That's, of course, you know, there's that road between Bombay and Pune. You know, that highway, and people go out there and get themselves killed. So if you want to kill yourself on that highway, you know, then you can go out in style and get yourself a Ferrari, you know. But otherwise, then you get something that's useful. You don't waste your money because it's Krishna's money. You know, he's given it to you to use, but you still, it's your quota, but still you have to properly use it and properly support devotional service. Okay, next question.
What about women? What is their service? Assist in the husband's service and give up whatever inclinations she may have. Previously, marriages were between same varnas. So more or less children had the gunas of that particular to that varna. How does that work in present times?
See, is that present means what's happening right now. So let's say we go back 5,000 years. So what Krishna and everybody's doing is right now, in the present. Let's say we go back, you know, a few more, you know, millennia. And what they're doing, Harishchandra, he's doing what's right now. You go back more than the Prajapati, what's going on right now. So this idea that the present now is so unique and different from any time else, it's the same time. Are the laws of God different now than they were before? Gravity doesn't work now. It's Kali Yuga. Gravity doesn't work now. Water's not wet. You know, fire's not hot. We don't breathe air, you know, like that. We don't walk on our feet. We walk on our hands. You know, what's changed? The same exact laws that are there and given in mana, they're there today. You follow them, they work. You don't follow them, you get trouble. You know, you can say, oh, the modern society doesn't follow, but look at all the trouble they're getting. Right? 75% divorce rate, that's because they don't follow. You follow, it works. It's not about, oh, times are different. No, it's the same laws of nature. Religion doesn't change because it's Kali Yuga. You know, the focus may change. Get to the essence, chant Hare Krishna. But the point is, the laws of Krishna don't change. So therefore, it means when you say in the present day, why aren't you seeing that the natures are similar between people getting married? If you're not, that's nonsense. I'll say that. You want me to? I'll say that. It is nonsense. In other words, this idea, oh, we're devotees, we just chant, we don't care for these things, that's just false ego. Just straight up from false ego. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, devotees, then when they get married, you marry within your nature, even within your community. You know, there was a thing in Chopati. There was a Marwari boy and a Gujarati girl getting married. It was a whole thing. He didn't want to marry her because he said, I hate sweet dal. So they actually had to write a contract that she'll never cook sweet dal. If she goes to the relatives, she'll get salty dal. Yeah. So the whole point is as long as they're of equal nature, then okay, it works. These are small differences. I'm just giving it as an example. But the point is why would you do that? Why would, out of false ego, you marry a Brahmin boy to a Shudra girl or this or that just because we can, we're devotees, and see, we're independent. This is just false ego. The point is those of equal nature marry each other. Therefore, and that you have to see is that devotional kind of value is there. How they're going to live, the same kind of economic background, you know, what is going to be there, how many kids, how the kids will be educated. One says Gurukul, one says Harvard, you know, one says we're going to have, you know, crores, and one says we're just going to be simple. You know what I'm saying? One says we're going to have, you know, sex to have children. The other ones, well, no, we're going to have sex 10 times a day. You know, so you have to work these things out. So unless you're looking at charts and seeing that the charts match, then you're not doing what you're supposed to do. Prabhupada said you check the charts on these things. Because it just says what you do. The body, gross material body and subtle body, these are material. You have to see that they match. They're not marrying the souls. You understand that you're not marrying the souls. You're marrying conditioned nature. So if they don't match, maybe that's why you're having problems there. Because everybody thinks, oh, we just chant and that's all. No. You know, Vaishnature marries Vaishnature. Kshatriya, Kshatriya. Brahmin, Brahmin. You know, you don't have to take it that far. You just check the charts. It has its things and it shows what matches. It has to be above 50%. And what's missing, you know, because 92 is the top you can get. So 50 is the minimum, 92 is the maximum. Then you have to see what's missing. What's the weakness? And then you have to see that they can live with those weaknesses. I've seen charts where it's a good match, but the place where it's weak is something that a person can't tolerate. So therefore, that's the wrong one. Find somebody else that one's there, because you have so many options. So what is this thing is, oh, it's in the present age. What is this nonsense? You know, you live in a big city and now you don't have to follow God's laws? What are you talking about? You know, what's special about Pune? You know? So you have to get it together, is that you have to look at what is the nature. It's not just all this, oh, yeah, we don't care. We just, yeah, we're, oh, look at this. I married this guy to that. Oh, aren't I cool? Yeah, and then you wonder why they get divorced. You know? So I've seen two people from exact similar Marwari backgrounds get married. And the chart wasn't that great. It's not one of these, you know, 90%. It was, you know, quite low. But because exactly the same value, what they eat's exactly the same chapati for this occasion, this dal for that occasion, exactly the same community. So from that way, just day to day, what they wear, when you're going out to the party, what you'd wear, exactly the same. But there's nothing that they agree on. If you sit there and have a conversation with that, one says one thing, the other one will disagree with it. Everything. I mean, lock, stock, and barrel, except for devotional service, of course. And so it's funny, but because of the background and because of their values, that they'll never separate, and that it's a great marriage. But their background is the same. Same community. So you can say, oh, that's bodily consciousness. Then why the hell are you getting married? Stop this. I'm a Paramahamsa when it gets married. You're getting married because you have to deal with material needs. And the point is if you have the wrong person, they won't be addressed. So we have to move on from this. Yes, you're finally trying to find those who it matches nicely. You see the closest you can get. And even if it's a perfect marriage, even if it's 92%, still, if they don't apply themselves, it's just like you give the guy a good car, it doesn't mean if he's a bad driver, he can drive it nicely. Or you give him first-class ingredients, but he's not a good cook, they can cook it properly. So you also, people have to try. They have to put in effort to make the marriage work. But you have to know that you have to start with as close as possible. Like that, you know? Couples marry or fight over the smallest things. So keep it small. Don't let it be big. You know, Prabhupada says goats, they sit there and fight, butt heads. But as soon as somebody goes, hut, then they run off. But dogs, they fight it. You can go up there with a stick and start beating them, and they'll keep fighting. That's a real fight. Goats aren't a fight. So therefore, husband and wife, it's not a real fight. It's just the nature, masculine and feminine, they like to fight with each other. So you have to know what you're dealing with and stop all this, oh, we're devotees, it doesn't matter and all that. It's kind of like, great, okay. So just, okay, take this bhakti here and take him and make him the CEO in your company. Oh, but he doesn't know anything about business. No, but he's a devotee. Devotee is the real thing. Come on, why are you being so bodily conscious? You know, get real. This so-called, we're great Paramahamsas when it comes to marriage. And then Brahmacharya, oh, Grihasa, oh, we're Paramahamsas. Brahmacharya, oh. Get it together. Next question. So therefore, why does the wife have to give, what does this mean, give up her desires? What does that mean? She's a woman, she's entering into a marriage with a man. The man's getting into a marriage because he's marrying a woman. It's not about the occupation. You guys make it about if the occupation is the real life. But there's a saying in America, in English, called get a life. Life comes in ashram. Varna is not a life. That's how you support it. So if you're career oriented and that's all you have, you need to get a life. That's called ashram. So what does that mean? She has to give up her desires. You know, I mean, you know, what does that mean? You know, it's just follow the husband. Why it's always that? That sounds like a man's question. The point is that she has her nature. She's doing her thing. She does. He does what he does. And they cooperate together. It's about cooperation. What does that mean? She has to give up everything. I mean, what is he giving up? So the point is the wife has to follow the husband. What's he giving up? So if he gives up, she gives up. He doesn't give up, she won't give up. He's night, like I remember one Indian gentleman telling me, because I noticed he was speaking very pleasantly with his family, you know, and the words and how he does. He said, if I don't speak nice, they won't speak nice. If he's rough, they'll be rough. He's nice, they're nice. That's how it works. Now, of course, the men always make the mistake because they can be nice or not nice with their mommy, and their mommy will always deal with them how they want to be dealt with. But that's mommy. You have to understand. That's the limit of where it functions. Okay?
What is the importance of and difference between Pancharatra and Bhagavata? Often in ISKCON, we find a lot of emphasis on hearing and chanting, sometimes at the cost of quality of worship up to their lordships.
But not at the expense of management, right? So the whole point is that Bhagavad is the primary, then Pancharatra is the secondary, and the Vedic is the tertiary. That's just how it works. So hearing and chanting is the main thing. But the point is how does Krishna say in the Gita? He says, best option is you surrender to me right now, this nanosecond. And we see the gopis did it, Maharaj Katvanga did it, you know, the wives of the yogi Brahmins did it. So it is a possibility. What's the next option? He says, if you can't do that, then you follow the rules and regulations of devotional service. That's called Pancharatra. Right? And then he says, if that's not enough, then you engage yourself in a variety of activities, you know, without detachment. That's Naishkarmya. That's Varnashram. Then if you can't do that, then you engage in Varnashram and Sakam. It's all yours. You're the Lord of all your survey. Now give something to Krishna. Right? So the whole point is it's right there in Gita. Surrender to Krishna. So always be hearing and chanting. Always be absorbed in Krishna. Always remember and never forget. Now, our lifestyle, I don't want to blow anyone's mind here, is Pancharatrik. Getting up in the morning, offering obeisances to the spiritual master, rolling up your bed, putting it away, going to the toilet, cleaning yourself, brushing your teeth, then taking your bath, then sitting down, putting tilak, putting on, you know, all that, chanting Gayatri and all that, wearing neck beads, wearing the sika and all that, putting on your dhoti and chadar and that, going to the temple, ringing the bell, offering obeisances, attending Mangal Arati. Then after there's the puja and all that. Then there's Guru Puja. Then there's the Tulsi Puja. Then there's Charinamrita. There's hearing Bhagavatam. There's taking prasad. Then there's services during the day. Then you have the same kind of thing in the evening. Then you're going to sleep and offering your whatever you did today for the Krishna. That is 100% Pancharatra. So Pancharatra is how to regulate Bhagavat so that you do it. Otherwise, we said that you should do all these things and there's no schedule, they won't get done. Prabhupada introduced it in 1980. Because you saw devotees weren't regularly reading and doing stuff, so they were going on Harinam, but they weren't taking full advantage. So after that, now they followed the regulated Pancharatrik lifestyle and went out in Harinam. And so Varnashram is there as we need it. Community means Varnashram. So therefore, we have to introduce it. All this stuff, all we're devotees, we don't care for it. Then don't be grihasthas. Don't live under a tree. If you're going to be making money, that's Varnashram. Varna means making money. We have to wake up to our and quit using this, oh, I'm so advanced kind of thing. You know? We're given the highest, but we're not the highest. So we have to know our position. We have to know, without regulation, you will not advance. So therefore, the Bhagavat means you're always absorbed in Krishna. So you're regulating that, you're always, but it's spontaneous, right? Like that. That's the whole point. So then you have to be able to do that. So Bhagavat means this. Raga is defined as the tendency of the mind to become spontaneously attracted to an object immediately on seeing it without intellectual processing. That's Bhagavad. The holy name, you just absorbed. See, you just absorbed. So these five elements of the five main points of devotional service, you're just naturally absorbed in that. That's rag. Otherwise, you follow Pancharatra, which regulates that Mangal Artics at this time, this is that. You sit here for japa and all that. You can sit in the temple at any time of the day and chant. But our people? No, but you just find after Mangal Arati to Guru Puja, they're sitting there. Why? That's Pancharatra. And the Vedic means now you have the sense, engagement of the senses beyond what's going on in the Pancharatra in the deity worship. Like that, you know, even Brahmins are doing the deity worship, but they're just absorbed in that, you know, like full-time pujaris. But then when it gets beyond that, you know, making money or different social things, then Varnashram, it engages that. That's what it's for. Know what we're dealing with. Okay, next thing.
Maharaj, what about training for girls or women? How can we be trained as good brahmacharinis within ISKCON so that we can become good grihasthas and vanaprasthas?
I mean, the natural thing is that the difference is boys, unless they're taken out of the grihastha environment, they don't become conscious. You know, I've made many references to the boys being attached to their mommy and how their mom deals with them. That's because they're in the household environment all the time, so they just see that as standard. So they're unaware. Like, it's a very common mistake. It's kind of a cliche and all that men don't have any idea how the clothes get washed, how the house get cleaned, anything like that. They have no idea. They take off their clothes and all, and when they come back, they're not on the floor anymore, but they're in the drawer all folded up nicely. They never make the connection. So until they go to the brahmachari ashram, away from the home, away from their mother, right? Then they go there, then they find out they have to wash their clothes themselves. Oh, that's how it works. They have to hang it up themselves. They have to, you know, they do the cooking, they do the serving, they do the eating, they wipe the floor afterwards, they take care of the temple, they do all these things. Then they become aware. So then when they become grihastha, now they respect what their wife's doing. Right? Otherwise, then they're just kind of a waste of time. Okay, great. As drones, they're okay. You know, you need something to create children. But other than that, then that's basically, you know, no importance. So, like you see in bee culture, drones sit around all day, and then they impregnate the queen, and then they're killed. Right? You know? And so, yeah, that's what you want. But the point is that you appreciate, you can do these things, because you can wash the clothes, therefore she's happy to wash the clothes. But if you can't wash clothes, it makes her annoyed. Because then why should she wash? You can't wash, why should she wash? But you can, but you're doing other things like going out, making the money or this or that. She's happy to wash clothes. You can cook, therefore she likes to cook. You appreciate her cooking, she's inspired to cook. You know, you notice she dresses nicely, therefore she's inspired to dress nicely. You know, you're considerate of her, therefore these things happen. So the whole point is that's why brahmacharis have to be in the brahmachari ashram. But the girls, they're always conscious. In other words, boys tend to be unconscious. They have to be trained to be conscious. But girls are always conscious from 2-3 years up, 2 years old. They already like carrying around babies and taking care and taking this and putting in the pram and doing all that. They're already aware of what they are, who they are, or what they're going to do. So the whole point is therefore, in that environment, they can be shown how then all that is in, by proper behavior, proper character. Like I remember seeing one Brahmin family. You know, I know Brahmins, they weren't just the regular Brahmins. They were, I think there's like four levels of Brahmins in the South. So they were the top level. So whatever that is, you know, and that. And so then this is before the girl can talk, right? The daughter, you know, whenever they're explaining to her, she explained, no, don't do that. That's not chaste. I mean, not chaste means it's not proper behavior. So chastity means proper behavior. Nowadays, chastity means you're not in bed with someone other than your husband. That's it. That's the limit of it. But the Vedic chastity means you behave nicely. You're focused on things like that. So the boy's learning to behave nicely, and she's learning. And then at one point, the penny drops, and it goes, oh, okay, that's the other aspect of chastity. So it's just one part of being cultured. So being cultured, how to do these things, how to do all these things. Yes, you can be professional, this and that, but why does that mean you can't cook? You know, why does that mean you can't dress? Why does it mean you can't take it? Well, that's very retarded. You know, we're saying that, oh, the men, oh, you can't take care of the baby, you can't cook and that, that's nonsense. But if the girls do that, then that's somehow another perfection. Either cooking's good or it's not good. So, you know, he cooks and she doesn't, then why is that okay? But if she cooks and he doesn't, oh, that's exploitation and this and, you know, white male supremacy and all that, even though maybe in Pune it's not that many white males, but don't worry, it's going to go back to that, you know, like that. And so it's just, you know, these things are all just nonsense. The point is that training means character, learning what is the character. So the boys have to be taken out of the home to develop character. The girls can learn character in the home. Then if you can have further programs where girls come together or that, you know, they can't learn in the home, and some senior ladies try to take them through and show them these things, how to do all these things and how to do nicely, then even better, nicely. I mean, in the beginning in the temples, there was a brahmacharini ashram. you know, a time then the communities and all that, you know, because their families weren't connected. But now families are devotees, so they can train them and teach them. But if it's a matter, go out, get a job, get this and that. Okay, that's all right. And that's always been there in the Sindhi community. But, you know, then that's their values also, as women drink hard liquor and smoke cigarettes, you know, like that. So the whole point is that she wants to do all these things. Great. But that doesn't mean, why can't she take care of the family? That means, why be married if you're not going to take care of the family? You know, if the husband can't take care of the wife and kids, or the wife can't take care of the husband and kids, and the kids, you know, aren't respectful of the parents, what's the point? That's where Chanakya says, better to go to the forest. So yeah, I mean, girls getting trained, that's a very good thing, but they also have to be aware of themselves. Okay, who does cook nice? Go to them, learn. Go ask them how to dress. Who dresses nicer? Go find out from them how to dress. Prabhupada, in the beginning, when the devotees came to India, he told the ladies, now you go into the, you know, they were staying at people's house, go into the inside of the house where the ladies are, and find out how to do all these things. And they learned a little bit, cooking and this and that, but it wasn't really disseminated. And other things they never learned, like, you know, things like, how often do you wash your hair? Like that. It means, you know, in Hungary, in some Western lady, how often do you wash your hair? And it's kind of like, you know, why don't you know that? You know? So the whole point is these are the things to learn, not just, you know, how to, you know, get top marks and get it like that and become the CEO. Okay, great, but the CEO doesn't have a family? CEO of that family doesn't eat, you know? So, I mean, if you want to do it equal, it's like in China, like that. Whoever comes home first, they cook, you know? Or if it's a big program, then the men cook, you know? And when and it's a small program, the women cook. And, you know, it's a, you know, and she's busy, the office extra time, he cooks. You know, she's busy, you know, he's busy, she cooks. It's just like, you know, then do it like that, you know? The point is that this is, oh, I'm not going to do it, and the men aren't going to do it, and then nothing happens. And that's how why you end up with weird kids. Neurotic kids. Okay. Next point.
Maharaj, we see conversions taking place around us. How we should react to that aspect?
Conversions.
I think so. This is mainly regarding to Christian conversion.
The whole point is that we have what we do. So why not preach? Why are they becoming converted? Because we're not preaching to them. You know? We're too busy about our systems and other things like that, and why he's in charge, and why not that, rather than going out and preaching. So what do you care? Preach. At least Christianity, they're monotheistic, you know? Okay, next.
Is it that tomatoes are not good for brahmacharis to eat? We have heard that in Mayapur Gurukul, they have tomatoes and they have items like pasta, which has tomatoes.
So then they should have the pasta with pesto, with basil sauce and no tomatoes. Is that what you're saying? Tomatoes. Tomatoes, there's not a problem with that for brahmacharya. Tomatoes, Ayurveda doesn't like them so much because they disturb all three doshas. They do have some good points that they do, but at the same time as they also disturb all three doshas. So it's a general thing. It has nothing to do with brahmacharya. Brahmacharya, it's eggplant. You want to know what's brahmacharya? Eggplant, green chilies eaten raw, and tamarind. And that's the unaged tamarind. You know, when you take the tamarind, they roll it in the balls and salt and put it in the jars and live it for 6 months. That tamarind doesn't. So there's a chemical in these three that's bad for brahmacharis. That's why you see in no ashram around India are these three used in that way. You know, so therefore, if you're from south and you use that, then you use aged tamarind, you know, the black stuff. Like that, you know, and then green chilies, you have to fry them proper. Don't eat them raw, you know. And what was the third one? Eggplant. I use it sparingly. Don't use it as every day, you know. And I've heard if you deep fry it, then it loses that quality. But when it's just boiled, you get the full benefit. So that's not great for brahmacharya. So that we're very careful of in the Gurukul. But tomatoes, I never heard that that's a problem. It's in the same family, but just because it's in the same family doesn't mean that these families are created by Western biology, right? So deadly nightshades in the same family. So are potatoes, you know, so is bell peppers, you know, so therefore that's all nightshades by the modern context. But in the Vedic, I don't think that they're counted like that. So they have their very specific thing. So therefore then, yeah, I wouldn't worry about it. Like that. And now and again, you cook some pasta, just don't overcook the pasta and make it into mush.
Maharaj, yesterday's list is exhausted of questions. We have got many.
Okay, great.
If you wish.
Well, kind of the problem is we're a bit near the time. But how many more questions do you have?
Maharaj, maybe around 10 more.
Whew! That's a light. Okay, we'll do one or two and then we'll stop. So pick from there what you want.
Maharaj, just a minute. Maharaj, what is your suggestion for a homosexual devotee who has no attraction to opposite sex but have that for the same sex?
Well, senior devotee that had that kind of background, his point was homosexual or heterosexual, what does it matter if you're celibate? So if you're celibate, then what's the problem? If you're not celibate, then live outside the temple. Don't live in the temple. Point is if you're going to be in an active homosexual relationship, live out in the community. And whenever you can come to the temple and behave yourself, you know, then do your service. You know, but if it's not an active homosexual relationship, then what does it matter where one is? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because the point is what's the difference here? You know, nowadays there's no distinction made because what is the base bottom line? Bottom line, sex, right? So then the idea is sex is the determining factor, what you have sex with, right? So, but the difficulty comes down is that's not the Vedic consideration. The Vedic consideration is children. Therefore, husband and wives that are have equal nature make children that are of equal nature. And so sex is, believe it or not, the medium that actually generates the children. So if it's only for the sensual pleasure of that, which you'll find if it's not the for children and like this, that's what's not recommended. But now between husband and wife, man and woman, you know, it means actually, you know, how you say the cisgender is that they actually have a male genitalia and female genitalia like that, you know, don't want to get too weird here. But the thing is that they'll be attracted by that, but at least if they stick to only having sex with their partner, then in that way, it's the broadest range of not illicit sex. So in other words, the tightest of no illicit sex is only having sex with your own partner for children, and the broadest is only have sex with your partner. You know, it doesn't say, you know, how many times a day, just only that. When you go outside of that, they're not your partner, you're not met, then that's where the problem comes. And so now, when we get into the homosexual element, then the only purpose is sense gratification, and so that's why it's a distraction. And so that's why it's not recommended. But if one is absorbed in that, then you live with your partner wherever it is that you want to live. And without showing off that, you come to the temple. It's just like, let's say we had a homosexual parade, right? All the homosexuals get out and they walk around with their muscles and they got their half-dressed girls, you know, with their boobs hanging out. Yeah, we're heterosexuals. Yeah. People would go, oh, this is nonsense. But the gays walk out on the street, oh, this is so liberal and so forward-thinking. It's nonsense. The point is sex is sex. So you want to have this kind of, have it at home. When you come to the temple, no one should know about it. You know? You could say, oh, no, but then I'm not being my real self. But is that the heterosexual? Oh, hey, hi, how are you? I'm a heterosexual. You know, oh, okay, yeah, well, I'm a bit metrosexual myself, but I can relate, you know, like that, you know. Is that how it goes? No. So why do you have to tell anybody? You know, what's this thing? You have to be in everybody's face. It's like vegans. You know, they have to let you know they're a vegan. You never met them before, and they have to tell you they're a vegan. You know, vegetarians, you can go for years and not know the guy's a vegetarian because they're comfortable. The vegans, it has to be in your face. So, yeah, so then the whole point is that do that on your own time. And then when it's Krishna's time, then be engaged nicely. You know, be celibate. Does that make sense?
Yes, ma'am. Barish, can you please tell us what should be the mood of a follower when superiors make some managerial decision in following? Because sometimes we may not like those decisions, or they may appear silly or not mature. So what should be my response as I see the atmosphere of not following or making fun of such decisions, or even speaking negative about it to everyone?
The point is okay, just start from the back. About making fun of it to everyone. What's our business to make fun of it to everyone? Are we the self-appointed generalissimo of, management according to how I see it? And therefore, if it's different from that, then I'm going to tell everybody. It's between you and that manager. You don't like it, talk to him. You either talk to him or do it. But what's this, I go to talk to everybody else? What's that for? To make yourself feel better. Oh, he told me to do that. Isn't that stupid? Why? The acharyas point out, I think it's Jiva Goswami points out that the reason that we like to criticize others is that it makes us in a superior position. I'm better because I found fault. I found fault, like in the modern academy. As long as no one can poke a hole in your theory, it's good. As soon as they poke a hole, it's thrown out. And the guy who poked the hole, now he's the new acharya. You know? So that's the whole thing. Why do we need to tell him? You don't like it? You either go talk to him and find out why, or do it. Where is this third option that we have? Is I talk to others, I tweet about it, I this, that, and I make everybody, know about it. This is nonsense. That's just gossip. That's prajalpa. It's non-devotional. And if you want to know why people fall down and go away and that, this is it. Of all the four kinds of anarthas, kutinati is the worst. Right? Because they're fault finding, not that they're benefiting the person they're finding the fault in. They don't have responsibility to benefit. They're just doing it for their own false ego. That's all. So kutinati, fault finding. There's no reason. It's not like the teacher finding a weakness in the student and pointing it out so that they get better. This is just for finding fault and just telling everybody, and then they're all laughing, and then you're enjoying. See, aren't I great? I'm smarter than him because I pointed out the fault and everybody else agrees with me. Aren't I fabulous? So we have to move on beyond these low-class, uncultured, non-devotional ways of thinking and behaving. In other words, either get it together now or the veneer that you guys are so fabulous is going to dissipate and no one will want to listen to you guys again. So these are common material things. But then what about the thing that you guys present yourself? You're the cat's meow. You got the best system, the best this, the best that. But all this is going on underneath and you don't talk about it. And not only you don't talk about it, you don't even deal with it. So now after 20 years, it's coming up and biting you in the backside because you didn't take care of it 20 years ago. So the thing is whatever it is, the reason you do it one way, they do it another. It's just like a cook. I read a recipe. I never follow the recipe. I get a general idea from the recipe, this and that, but I'll add this, or I'll do that, or I'll fry it, and this and that, and I'll do it the way I want to do it. I don't know it at all. I'll follow the recipe exactly until I understand the techniques that are going on. Then you make your variety. So yes, if you're such a fabulous manager, but why can't you see what angle he's coming from? Why it's got to be childish or foolish or this or that? Is it working? The temple's there. Look at the size of that temple that you're sitting in right now. That came because of foolishness. That came because of childishness. Get it together. Just remember, no one likes middle management. In the corporate world, everyone hates middle managers. The bosses hate them because they're so proud. And the general workers hate them because they're so proud. Because they think that they are the cat's meow. Get it together. Move on from this conditioning. That's one of the major difficulties we see in India taking up this preaching, is because they're so proud of their good birth, their good knowledge, their good, you know, legal position, their beauty and all that. And because of that, they think that they're so fabulous. And then they just make so much mistakes. And because of that, they end up as white dogs in Switzerland. So you got to get it together at one time and move on from these bodily consciousness. And on the other time, oh, we don't have to follow the Vedic rules because we're chanting Hare Krishna. Then why these things come up? Oh, we're just being practical here. No, you're not. This is called prajalpa. You have a problem, go talk to that person, that authority, and ask them, why do you want to do it in this way? And they suggest, maybe this way, maybe that way. That's your duty. Now, you can't say, well, what if he doesn't accept? That's his business. You do your business. Right? Yudhishthira did his business, even though Dhritarashtra was not doing his. That's why there's Mahabharata. So you can learn that. You good?
Maharaj, Ravi Chandra, dear, thank you so much for such a very enlightening presentation, Maharaj, last two days. We actually wanted to have more of your association. I will connect with you through one of the devotees, Pandurang Sharanpur from Pune. And we want to have one more Bhagavatam class and one Brahmachari class by you. In future, we will check your time slot availability. And
You just have to work it out with them. Because he knows it goes back. Because there's one devotee who coordinates all these things for the academy. Any of the Zoom things for the devotees in the academy are doing, they organize that.
Yes,
so it has to be connected back through them.
Maharaj, one of the very striking observations I made in your presentations is you are able to, you know, help us out with some of the very practical down to earth queries along with examples and illustrations. You give such amazing blend of Shastra with ISKCON situation, which I feel is extremely rare, because we hear a lot of Shastra, many lectures, pastimes, you know, details about Acharyas, everything we hear. But the way you present was very valuable for us. And probably I feel that it can move many stumbling blocks in the lives of the various devotees, both Brahmacharis and Grihasthas. And therefore, we would like to hear more from you for many of the queries the devotees would like to ask. Especially about Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Varna and Ashrama, you explained very, very beautifully. And the role of male and female who needs attention, that was very nicely explained. And also the authority subordinate working. And one observation I made is you are always very constructive in approach, you know, whether one is a subordinate, one is a superior, or one be. And a very, very positive approach in every way you handled the homosexual question was so amazing. You know, it's such a very practical answer which doesn't defeat the devotional service, which protects the devotional service along with answering their conditioning. And in this way, many of the queries were very maturely handled, and we are very thankful to you, Maharaj. Actually, many of the devotees in our ashram hear your lectures very regularly. In fact, daily they hear, and they have been immensely benefiting. And I also got many of your transcriptions, which I'm going through. So I'm very thankful to you for taking out your valuable time in the last 2 days, and we're looking forward for more of your holy association, Maharaj. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
My pleasure. Bhakti Vidya Purna Maharaj ki.
In other words, you had that thing of that book of Prabhupada's, Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers. So if there's not proper questions, how do you have a nice conversation? So your devotees are thoughtful in that, because they are engaged nicely in devotion. They sometimes forget to deal with like Rupa Goswami says, don't neglect ordinary dealings. They tend to forget that, because they can work on a higher level. So, but they have to take care of that also. Otherwise, now they're starting to bother them. So like that. So they give very good questions. That's why it's always nice to discuss.
Thank you,
Mahabharata. Hare Bhakti. Hare Krishna. Jainita.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Bhakti.
Diklashyam Prabhu.
Thank you, ma'am. Yes, Prabhu.
Any announcement you want to make?